for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, April the 16th, 2006. Steve Sampson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Know Who You Are.
If you don't mind, I'd just like to... Brother, can you get that chord out of there for me?
Don't be too impressed. These things are very, very easy to play.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done with His blood. He has saved me with His power. He has raised me. To God be the glory for the thing He has done. Love lifted me. When nothing adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise are singing, hallelujah's ringing, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing. Lord, you said the anointing destroys the yoke. Lord, we ask for the destruction of any yoke on our lives today. Lord, that we would walk out of here so free, so equipped, so anointed, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just noticed this recently in Mark 14. Where he talks here in verse 48, then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords or clubs to take me? He says, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. Now, this is kind of an interesting scripture. Verse 51, now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Isn't that interesting that that's in Scripture? It's almost like bizarre. Why would you put that? But you know what? I was just meditating on this last night. You know what I believe? I believe that represents that the divine exchange is getting ready to take place. Our nakedness for his righteousness. Isn't that interesting that's in the Scripture? That here this guy clothed with that linen cloth. And how many know God has clothed us with his righteousness? I just thank God for that. I thank God for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because there's nothing we can do on our own. And then another kind of a scripture I think is so powerful when it comes to this time of year. In John 20, and I think this is kind of humorous. I'm a little, you don't mind if I take this coat off, even? It is rather attractive, but I think. John chapter 20. Oh, now Thomas, this is verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, notice these words, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Isn't that interesting? He just has a problem. He said, I'm going to have more proof. The only problem with talking like that is that God hears you. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace to you. And I used to always wonder, why did Jesus come through the wall? I finally figured it out. They had the door locked. They weren't going to let anyone in. I like a Savior that can come through the wall without falling through the floor. The first thing he does, he appears in the room and he says, peace be unto you. I guess that gave him heart failure. Notice the first thing he says, the first thing out of his mouth, he speaks to Thomas. Thomas? I think Thomas said, uh-oh. 8 days earlier, he had a big mouth. Well, I'm not going to believe it. I got a real problem with this. Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Notice Jesus is underwhelmed. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Isn't that cool? So I appreciate that scripture because, you know, the Lord is so, He's wanting us to step out there and believe. He wants us to dare to trust Him, to dare to believe Him. You know, in the scripture, it's John 19, verse 30. Pastor Glenn quoted it last night, but I love it because it says, it is finished. He's on the cross. He's breathing His last breath. He's probably stretching, trying to get that one last breath. And He yells out, it is finished. It's interesting to me that He did not say, it's to be continued. It is finished. What do you do when it's finished? You celebrate. What do we do when the work week is done? The world, they go drink and throw up on each other. But we need to learn as a church to celebrate. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the fact that it's done. You don't have to add to it. And I think so many times the church, we've had a hard time just celebrating the fact that it's finished. That He's conquered it all, that it's done. And on the road to Emmaus, you know, He's talking with these guys and it's finished. It's done. But they don't know it's done. They don't realize it's done. And there's a lot of people on this earth, they don't realize it's done. In fact, the sin problem has been dealt with. The only problem left now is the self-centered sinner. But so many times we're walking around and we're not sure. And one thing the enemy has tried to do to all of us, he's tried to steal our identity. I think there's two eyes out there the devil's after. Number one, he's out there to steal your identity. Number two, he's trying to stop your influence. How many know God's trying to give you an identity and He's trying to increase your influence? Now, there are just a couple things I want to address this morning, but don't you appreciate the resurrection power of God? You know, it's available all the time. He's available to do amazing things. He's available to do mind-boggling things. And I just want to give this illustration. In 1993, we moved to Birmingham, Alabama in 1984. I lived there 9 years, never saw one snowflake, not one. And one morning, it was a beautiful day in Birmingham, Alabama, about probably 70 degrees, 75 degrees. The grass was greening up. It was March 11th. The grass was greening up. There was fresh leaves on the trees. And I'd been out. I think I played a game of golf or something spiritual. And I remember walking in the house, and in the kitchen we had a bale in the corner of television. We call it bale. We had bale sitting on the kitchen counter. And when I walked in the kitchen, I just thought, I'll flip it on, and I turned on the Weather Channel. You know you're over 40 when you enjoy the Weather Channel. Look what it's doing in Abilene. Wow. You know, but anyway, when I turned it on, there's this guy standing there, and he's a real nerdy looking guy, wire rim glasses, and he just says, "Tomorrow, it's going to snow in Birmingham, Alabama." While he's saying it, I'm looking outside. It's 70 some degrees. It's a gorgeous day. Birds are singing. I mean, it's just gorgeous. I had to make a choice. Am I going to believe this nerd on there, or am I going to believe my senses? And that's always a battle. You have to choose. Am I going to believe the Holy Ghost, or am I going to believe my senses? The next morning we woke up and there was 16 inches of snow on the ground. Alabama hadn't had a storm like that, I don't know how many decades. But 16 inches of snow, and it broke about every tree in the city and, you know, just wiped the city out. And people that live in the north were calling me laughing and stuff. But the deal is, that man on TV knew he had information that I didn't have. Now, that's the way God is. God has information you don't have. And He thinks He knows more than you. And he has access to that. So when we commune with the Holy Spirit, we need to expect to hear good news. We need to expect that He's talking to us. He's communing with us. And He'll tell us things. I know one night in a meeting, and Dr. Noel will appreciate this, but this was several years ago, but there was a word came in the meeting, and the word was simply, there's somebody here that has colon problem. Well, this little 7-year-old girl, kind of toward the front, she raises her hand, I think, bless her heart, she doesn't understand. You know, colon problem, that's for older people, you know. And her parents, I kind of looked at them, and they're nodding like that. Well, since she was born, her bowels didn't work properly. They named all the, they'd been to two or three different children's hospital For 7 years, they could not get her help. They had been, in fact, from birth till seven, for her to have a bowel movement, they had to put her in warm bath water and let her have her bowel movement in. And then there was a lot of bleeding and terrible pain. This girl had been through hell for 7 years. But during this meeting, just simple, somebody here has colon problems. This little girl raised her hand. We prayed for her a long time, probably 15, 20 seconds. And that's been several years ago. She never had another problem. The diagnosis was that the timing was off in her body, and her body, that somehow the time, they had a medical term for it, but the timing, but one word from God changed her drastically. And that's been years ago, and I've talked to the parents. They said she'd never had one problem, but for just hell and back for 7 years, then all of a sudden God just spoke and did it. I was at a church in near Indianapolis, and this pastor, there's a word one morning, somebody here has trouble sleeping. This pastor, John, he says, everybody in the church kind of pointed, but he's way in the back. The pastor was sitting in the back for some reason, but everybody said, it's Pastor John, it's Pastor John. He was 55 years old. He hadn't had a good night's sleep since he was 8 years old. So we all, again, we just agreed with the Holy Ghost that night, and that's been about 3 years ago now. And Pastor John has never had a problem sleeping since. In fact, his wife said he's hard to wake up. But she said in the past, you could peel a banana and he'll just wake up, you know, just any little noise. She said he's the most restless, you know, just, and he just torment. It's just torment for since from the time he was 8 years old till the time he's 55. But the word came that one time and he was healed instantly. The next morning, he had a wonderful night's sleep, and he went out the garage and he was cleaning out some boxes, and he opened a box and he found a prescription the doctor had written when he was 8 years old and said, John has a medical problem of sleeping. That's, you know, and there was some little prescription on there. But God changes things. And I think we need to convince ourselves it's good news. The gospel means good news. He says it is finished. That means we have access to Him. And of course, the enemy is trying to steal our identity. And I just want to address that for a minute, because this could take a long time, but I just want to take a couple minutes. When if I could read this to you. This is from the book of Acts in chapter 19. Acts 19 says, you're familiar with this verse of scripture, because verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, that's anointing, isn't it? When you know, they just take a piece of clothing or a cloth and, man, evil spirits leave. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you in the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, I love this scripture because also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. But what I think is so cool about that is, who are you? Do you know who you are? You say, well, I'm John so-and-so. No, that's your name. Well, I go to the Hamilton camp meeting. No, that's where you attend. Well, I'm an electrician. No, that's what you do. Who are you? You know who you are? You're a son of God. That's who you really are. And you're carrying the anointing. And I want to tell you something. The devil is not afraid of your belief in Jesus. He's not afraid of your doctrine. What he's afraid of is the anointing. That's why the Bible never talks about an anti-Jesus spirit. The Bible doesn't talk about an anti-Jesus spirit. It talks about an anti-Christ spirit. How many agree with me that Christ is not Jesus' last name? That's a title. It was Johnson. No, I don't know. I don't know. But Jesus' last name, we don't know. But his title, Jesus the Christ, or the Anointed One. What is the devil afraid of? What is hell afraid of? Hell is afraid of the anointing you carry on your life. And so the enemy's attack against you is to try to steal your identity so you don't know who you are. And then we think about Matthew 3, when John baptized Jesus in the Jordan, and it said, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost or God from heaven spoke audibly and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm now pleased, whom I'm well pleased and now pleased. Now, interesting, because Jesus himself had, he needed affirmation from the Father. How many understand what I'm saying? He needed to hear that. He knew he was the Son of God, but he obviously needed affirmation. The next verse in Matthew 4, verse 1 says that immediately the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into a charismatic prayer meeting, into the wilderness. And Jesus was there 40 days fasting and praying. And at the end of those 40 days, what did the devil say there? The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God." Now, how many know God has already said, "This is my beloved Son," but what's the enemy going to do? If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread, and probably turn this stone into bread with butter on it, I think, because, you know, he's seductive. So in other words, God has already said, "You're my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with you." But what's the enemy saying? If you're the Son of God, who do you think you are? So what's the enemy always doing to all of us? He's trying to say, "Who do you think you are?" And he's trying to steal the confidence, to steal our identity. My dad died at 2 years ago at age 95. That means I have good genes, I guess. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But anyway, he could outwork me till a few weeks before he died. I mean, just ridiculous. But anyway, that man lived in Lincoln, Nebraska. That man, I could be all over the world traveling, preaching. I could come home, sit at his kitchen table, and within a couple of minutes, that man could reduce me to a 10-year-old boy. I'd forget who I am. I asked a therapist about it. She said that's called age regression. That man had a way of it. He loved me, but there was a tone in his voice. In his mind, I was still a teenage boy. I was still a 10-year-old or whatever. And he could make me. I'd forget my identity. I'd forget. I'd lose all my authority. I couldn't speak. I just felt walk around the house like a little boy until I realized what was going on. Maybe there's somebody in your life that age regresses you, or somebody identifies you. So many times we've had some failure in our past identify us. We had a divorce. We had a financial failure. We had a bad experience, and we've let that be our identity instead of letting God identify us. The devil wants to steal who you are. He's out to steal that identity. I did something recently I thought I hadn't done for years, but they took me, these group of people asked me to go horseback riding. I haven't been on a horse for a long time, but the problem is, they said, "Steve, you know that you need to ride this horse. It's a good experience. It's faithful and it's loyal and it's this and that." Well, the problem is, when I got on the horse knew that I didn't know what I was doing. And that horse took me for an unusual ride. And also, in the middle of the ride, the horse laid down on the ground and tried to roll over me. And they said that horse, that we've had that horse for years, it's never done anything like that. But see, the horse knew I didn't know who I was. And a lot of us, we don't know who we are because we're having trouble believing the gospel. We have trouble believing it is finished. It's been accomplished. It's not going to be continued. It's done. God already sees you as righteous. He already sees you as complete. And that's how he's talking to you. He's not talking to your faults. He's not talking to your hang-ups. He's talking to the inner man. Hallelujah. You know, the anointing is wonderful because every time we hear the word anointing in Scripture. And by the way, I asked these people that day, because we rode 4 hours and I've never been so sore in my life. I really haven't. And I kept saying, "Do you have any skinny horses here?" Because I thought, oh, God, I thought there's got to be some malnourished horse around here. But it's just ridiculous how you have to put your legs like, oh. It's kind of interesting that there's a good scripture. And I'm just throwing out a few things here. But when David was told in 1 Samuel 17, when David was told by his father to go check on his brothers. Now listen close, this is potent. He went down and David came to the front lines. He said he put his sheep with a keeper. He had some cheeses and some hamburgers, whatever he gave to his brothers. And then he started asking around. And it says, David saying, "What's going to be done for this, anybody who kills this Goliath?" And they said, "Well, he's going to get the king's daughter, and hopefully she didn't have a wooden leg. But also, he'll have tax exemption in Israel, all of Israel." So David is hearing the promise, and David is so excited, he's kind of saying in 1 Samuel 17, "Tell me again." They said, "Well, you're going to get the king's daughter, whoever kills this guy, and you get tax exempt. So you're going to be a tax-free millionaire, bottom line." Eliab, his older brother, hears it, and he accuses David. And notice what he says. He says, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know what's in your heart. You came to watch the battle." Now, how many know that wasn't why David was there? But people with an insecure problem always project their heart on you. And he tried to steal David's identity. Whether it was a demon working through Eliab or what, it was like trying to steal David's identity. And I love what David did. He shook it off. "That's not my identity. That's not true. Is there not a cause?" And he went on. I want to tell you, there's always somebody out there that's going to try to steal your identity. You've got to remember who you are. You're a son of God. You're carrying the anointing. And how many agree with me? God did, when He baptized you in the Holy Spirit, He didn't have you in mind. He had everyone who's going to cross your path in mind. He didn't fill you with the Holy Spirit for you. He filled you with the Holy Spirit for the sake of there's so many needs around us. And then Saul hears about it. And Saul, and David must have been talking big because he's blabbing around and he gets in front of Saul. And Saul says to David, I appreciate your sincerity, but you're a youth. And this guy's been a warrior since his youth. And guess what? David had to pull out his resume. And he said, "Listen, King, Mr. King, I've been designated to watch the sheep." But he's saying, "You know, while I was out there, I learned some things. Because God kind of hid me. And I didn't have people to talk to. And God kind of hid me. And while I was out there, one day a lion came up and put a lamb in its mouth. And I grabbed the lion by the beard and removed the lamb. And then I killed the lion." And he said the same thing happened with a bear. "Your servant has delivered the lamb from both the lion and the bear." You know what? There's times in our lives before God uses us, before He puts us out there on the front lines, we have to learn to deal with some lions and some bears. Lions represent those things. Peter said, we learn to wage war with those fleshly lusts. Lions represent to me that spirit of anger. You say, "Well, my dad had anger and his dad had anger." Well, you got a new father now. And we got to rise up and we got to deal with those lions. There may be a lion in your life. We all have lions and bears. There's a lion in there. There's some raging thing in there that doesn't want to submit. I never had a problem, but I've read about people that have had problems. And then there's the bears. Then we all have these bears to deal with. Bears represent that, I think, that discouragement. How are you doing? Not good. And it's just like the bear market. They're always the bears represent those emotions that just don't want to cooperate. But David said, out there alone with God, I learned to deal with lions and bears. And you know what I think also David did? I think David did a lot of target practice. I think when he saw that Goliath, I don't think he saw it. They said he was 9.5 feet tall. But you know what? I don't believe he saw a big giant. I believe he saw a big forehead. You know what I believe? I believe David was working with that slingshot all the time. He was messing around. I'm sure he was bored. And so he's out there and he's doing that slingshot. I think he got where he could hit a branch. He could hit a sparrow. And when he saw Goliath, he said, "That's one of the biggest foreheads I've ever seen. I know I can't miss." You know what? You know what that means? When you're alone with God, you got to learn to know Him. You got to get comfortable with the anointing that's in you. Don't fantasize over somebody else's anointing. Develop your own. Get to know God on your own. David wasn't scared of Goliath. He was appalled. He said, "I know the anointing. This doesn't feel like the anointing. This feels like fear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would dare to defy the armies of the living God?" David did not have an identity crisis. He knew who he was. But Saul tried to steal it, and Eliab tried to steal it. And then Goliath came along and tried to steal it. Goliath said to him, "What am I, a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And David kind of said, "You know, I'm going to kill you, but first I have a word for you." And he says, "I'm going to remove your head." And David prophesied to Goliath, and you can count it. It's 145 words. He gave him 145 word prophecy, and then he killed him. I like that. But I love the fact that David, because I want to tell you, there's always somebody trying to steal your identity. There's always somebody trying to say, "You're not this or you're not that." Don't let circumstances define who you are. Let God define who you are. Oh, listen, I have faults. I've done bad things, but I'm not a bad person. I have warts, but I'm not a frog. In other words, I believe the gospel. The gospel declares
who I am. He declares who you are. You have some bad experiences. You've had some bad situations, but that's not who you are. Who you are is a son of God, and you're carrying the goods that this world needs. You're carrying the anointing. And let me just wind up with this. In Acts chapter 3, I just love the anointing, because every time in the Bible the word anointing is mentioned, it always means a thick smearing of oil. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed, the word C-H-R-I-O, Cairo, and it means to smear with a heavy oil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil fears the anointing. The devil fears the power of God flowing through you. The devil doesn't fear your doctrine. The devil doesn't fear your head knowledge. The devil fears the fact when you know who you are, that you're carrying the anointing. Because that brings results. Folks, we have to realize the only way we have of helping anyone is because of the anointing in us. 1 John 2:20 says, but the anointing, you have received the anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, the anointing in you is going to let you know all that you need to know. And 2:27 says, but the anointing you've received from Him. You don't need that any man will teach you. God will let you know. And we're equipped with this wonderful anointing. That's who we are. We're sons of God carrying the goods. Do we have faults? Oh, yeah. And speaking of faults, you know, this is interesting to me. And this really changed my life. I was reading through the New Testament several years ago, and I noticed something. There's not one place in the New Testament where Jesus prayed for anyone. There isn't. He never prayed for anyone. Did he pray? Oh, yeah. He rose up a long while before daylight and prayed. But when he got among people, he never prayed for anyone. It's not there. He said, take up your bed and walk. Go your way, your son lives. He spit on one guy. I haven't tried that yet, but he did. He never prayed for anyone. Why? Because he knew he was in unity with the Father. He knew who he was. He didn't have to pray. The only place he did pray, by the way, was at the tomb of Lazarus. And he stood there, and you know what he said? Right before he's getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, he says, Father, I don't need to be praying this prayer. Read it in John 11. I don't need to be praying this prayer. I know you've already heard me. I'm only doing this because people need to see me act religious. But he knew who he was. And you know what else is amazing? He never told you to pray for anyone. He said, as you go, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, freely as you have received, freely give. You know what I think? I think God thinks we're already equipped. I think God thinks we're already justified and sanctified and declared righteous and declared worthy. We're having trouble believing the gospel. But once we realize who we are, the enemy's tried to get us to identify with some failure or some circumstance, but that's not the way God sees us. That's right. That's good. I like that. I like that. That's excellent.
Then the safety net, the anointing oil.
That's good. There you go. The safety net. I like that. That's good. The safety net. And you know, another place in Mark 16, he didn't even say to pray for the sick. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a Visa card. I have an American Express, too. Now, if I went into a store and the clerk, I walk up there, I find a shirt, and I walk up there and the clerk says, may I help you? And I hand her the Visa card and I go, in the name of Visa. They do that in Tulsa. But how many know she's going to call security? We got a live one here. But guess what it is? That's what we do. We're always walking around in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Listen, either you're in the name of Jesus or you're not. You know, in the rest of your Christian life, you would never have to use the term, the phrase, in the name of Jesus again. You know why? Because you're in the name of Jesus. You're in covenant. She takes that card and she scans it across that little computer, and within about 2 seconds, it finds out if I'm in good standing with the Bank of America. And when you begin to pray, if you've had a bad day, if everything's going wrong, God still thinks He's in covenant with you. God doesn't answer prayers on the kind of day you've had. And most of us are so good at beating up ourselves, and then we're back to praying again with a question mark, forgetting who we are. We lose our identity. But you're His son. Yes, you have faults. Who doesn't? But God could care less. God's not interested in your past. He's interested in your future. When Jesus said to Peter, let down the nets. What did Peter do? He talked about history. Lord, we've been out here all night. We all bring up history. Jesus doesn't address our history. He addresses our destiny. Fear not, for from now on you'll be catching men. We always bring up history.
Lord, we've been out here and caught nothing. I can see Jesus saying, I didn't realize you guys have been out here all night. No, you're always in trouble when you're giving God information. I'll tell you, and we all do it. The Holy Ghost speaks to us and we tell him why it won't work. That's conviction already. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to real quickly, I'll wind up here with Acts chapter 3. And I think this is so amazing. Acts chapter 3. You know, isn't it funny about the will of God? We all say, you know, I hear so many people, and I grew up in the churches, you know, where we prayed for the sick, but if they got healed, we'd say it's the devil. You know, that kind of thing. I grew up in one of those. But I think it's interesting that we pray so many times, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. How would you like to be in the hospital and you're very ill? And they said, Lord, if it's your will, heal him. But if not, kill him. You know, my God. But nobody would ever go to God and say, God, if it's your will, save my soul. But if not, just send me straight to hell. You wouldn't do that. But we seem to do it with the rest of the promises of God. We forget who we are. God's already made his mind up. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Before you answer, he's already said yes. And some of the biggest thing we can do is shake off this unworthiness and shake off this feeling of inadequacy and say, my identity is not in what I've done or where I've been. My identity is he's called me his son. That's why worship is so important, because many times in worship, we're feeling God affirm us and we begin to know who we are. And you get out of the presence of God and you forget who you are and you start getting shaky. And that's why we have to sometimes just get in there and just we worship God until we hear him saying, this is my beloved son. Acts chapter 3. And I'll stop. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John, this man has never walked, he's been like a pretzel since he came out of his mother's womb. He's in pitiful shape. He's never walked. Daily he's laid at the temple. They must have seen him walk, Jesus Christ walk by him hundreds of times. I'm sure the thought crossed their mind. Why doesn't Jesus heal him? Why doesn't Jesus do anything? But this day, and I think they're running late. I think they're on their way to the temple. I think they're just a little bit late. They're probably carrying coffee with them and they're heading for the temple. And all of a sudden there's this wonderful, divine interruption from God. And this man is sitting there asking for alms. But Peter and John must have felt an unction. Something was different. The Holy Ghost was talking. The anointing's being released. And they look at the man. And they say these words. Notice they did not say, look at Jesus. They did not say, go to our church. They did not say, we're having a prayer meeting next weekend. They said, look at... How many know the world needs to see the anointing in you? They need to see... You can't say, well, I have a wonderful pastor. He's a wonderful man. No, look at us. Look at what God has done in me. We're going to help you. Look at us, because we're carrying the anointing. And the man looked at them thinking he was going to get a donation. And Peter said, with John said, silver and gold we don't have, which sounds like a lot of Christians. But he says, silver and gold we don't have. But what does he say? He didn't say, such as I know, such as I learned, such as I went to a retreat. He said, such as I have, I give you. You got to know who you are. You got to know you're carrying the anointing. You don't give people what you know. You give people what you have. And when hands are laid on you, I promise you, there's more going into you than you think. Sometimes God articulates so much, but your life has changed with the laying on of hands, because such as I have, such as they have, it's being given by the Holy Ghost. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just tell you this real quick, if you don't mind. And by the way, we're going to have communion here this morning. You ever seen in churches where they call it the table of remembrance? It's always at the table of remembrance. You know what hit me one day? You know what we're remembering? We're remembering that he doesn't remember. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your sins. What is it in Hebrews 8? This new covenant and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember, except for a few bad ones. No, I will remember what? No more. Glory to God. I think this gospel is such good news, we miss half of it. I really do. Wow. I was ministering, and I just want to give you this real quick. I was ministering, and a friend of mine began a church a few years ago in Bedford, Indiana, which is about an hour from Bloomington, Indiana. Anyway, he started meeting in this church at the Stonehenge Hotel. They rented a room there. The hotel had a nice bar in it, but they rented a room for $50 a week. And so I was there, and I was preaching for him a few times. And one night I'm in there, and there's this girl named Lori, who's about 36, 37 years old. She sings in bars, and she's a wonderful person, but she hates God, hates him. People said, you need to come to this meeting, and you just need to come to this church and be in this meeting. Well, she became quite a drinker, and she hates God because she got married young, and she was a little teenage girl, and she had a baby real quick, and the husband she had took the baby and put him in the dryer and then turned the dryer on, the 1.5 year old. And because of that, she divorced him for the sake of the life of her child. Well, the legalism in the church came against her, and there were people. I know there's not people around like this today, but they said, you're going to hell because you got a divorce. Well, she began to hate God. She hated God, and she would cuss. She would tell me, every day I would look in the heavens, I would cuss at God like a sailor. I hate your guts, and use foul language talking to God. Did this for years, and became quite a heavy drinker, and she could drink any man under the table. She just could hold liquor. Well, that night she came to the Stonehenge Hotel there in Bedford, Indiana, and she walked in and she sees the bar there, and she says, I'm just going to get soused. And she said, well, some people kept saying for me to go to the meeting. And so she walks into the church meeting, and she's late, and about the time she walks in, I'm standing there and I'm just saying, there's somebody here that you really struggle with headaches. Lori, as she sat down, she's hearing this, and a woman says, well, I have a headache every once in a while. And so we all proceed to pray for this woman that has a headache once in a while. And Lori told me, she said, I'm sitting there, and she said, oh, how I envied that woman. She said, oh, to only have a headache once in a while would be so wonderful. Lori, since the age of about a 10-year-old, she said, I have headaches every day. She said, I vomit every day from headaches. The headaches are so severe, if somebody walks in the room, it makes it just go up many volumes. She said, I have to be careful the kind of pillowcase I have because it makes the headache so severe. She said, I had a headache every single day of my life. I've been sick to my stomach because of headaches every single day of my life, and it's all I can do to live. And so she's sitting there, and there she's watching this woman being prayed for. And she said, God, I know I hate you, and I know I cuss at you, and I tell you, hey, I hate you guts, but if you'd heal my headaches, it would sure be nice. She'd never had another one in her life. Not never. It's 3 years ago. She's never had another headache. Not one time. I was back, and she wasn't saved that day. She didn't get saved till a few weeks later, and the pastor finally shut up so she could get saved. And she wanted to get saved. I got to get saved, and the pastor wouldn't quit preaching anyway. But anyway, she was telling this testimony, and I was just so amazed. We had about 300 people. She was telling this wonderful testimony about the grace of God. And the next day, several Christians met somewhere, and on the way back, they said, Lori, would you mind taking Steve back to his hotel? And Lori's 13-year-old daughter, she had a little tiny car, and a 13-year-old daughter was getting in the back seat. 13-year-old girl is like an adult. She's jammed in the back seat. Because of the tightness of the little car, she said, Steve, you sit in the front seat, but would you mind holding my dog? And it was some kind of little British thing. It barked with some kind of accent, but it had this real short hair, and it was like 12 years old. It was like, for a dog, it was almost elderly. And then it was, to make it even worse, it was wearing a sweater. And we had about a 10 or 12 mile ride back to the hotel, and the dog sits in my lap and immediately just goes sound asleep. And we're driving along, and I just say to Lori, Lori, did you get the Holy Ghost? Did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? She says, no, but I want to. Oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so badly. And I said, well, it's odd we never had an altar call for that. God sure wants you to be filled. Oh, I want that. I said, well, let's just pray now. So I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And don't close your eyes because she's driving. And we're going down the highway. The dog's sound asleep, her daughter in the back. And I said, Lori, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I ask you right now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and give me this gift of tongues. And as soon as she said those words, she began to pray so fluently in tongues. But what was insane, the dog who had been laying there leaped up, and he began to spin and lick my face and spin and spin and spin, just went nuts. He felt the presence of God enter that car. I prayed for a lot of people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never seen a dog get filled. But that dog felt God's presence. I want to tell you, we carry the anointing. The anointing is strong. The anointing is powerful. The anointing is mind-boggling. And see, we don't know who we are. We don't know what we're carrying. God wants to increase your knowledge of who you are. He wants to increase your identity. You know, God's brought you two through a lot. He really has. He's brought you through some real humps, boy, some real humps. And I want to tell you something. You're to pray together. You're to agree together. And it's the Holy Spirit is telling me anything you agree on, He'll do. Anything you agree about, He'll do. Life's going to get better. It's going to get smoother. It's going to get sweeter. And your best days are coming. I see that. Their best days are coming. And you've had to get through a lot. And God's already healed you of a lot. Your first name is?
Doris.
God's already healed you of a lot. I can just see where He's worked and worked in you. And you're feeling better about you. You really are. I don't know if this is a... I assume it's an offspring, but I see like a someone that close to you guys that you're just to really agree with, because God's going to do a real miracle. I don't know if it's a son or daughter or someone close there, but God's going to move. But just agree. You don't have to agree long periods. Just say, God, we agree. We lock in. And God doesn't disappoint. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone today God is healing you of a... You have a like a nervous twitch on your eye. People think you're winking at them, I think. But God is healing it. It's just like over one eye. Maybe you take medicine for it. But God is healing you of that today. So if that's you, just grab a hold. There's someone else. There's a woman that you've had some real unnatural bleeding. There was seems like several years ago. I'm giving you as I'm hearing the Holy Spirit tell me. But it seems like several years ago, you had some real bad female problems. Lately, you've been having some female discharge. It's just kind of bothering you. The Holy Ghost is drying that up. He really is. He's drying that bleeding is going to stop totally. Totally. It's going to stop. So if that's you, just grab a hold. And I want to tell you something. When you grab things God is doing, everything's within 6 feet. If there's something about a scalp condition and you got a foot fungus, that can't be more than 6 feet away. So, there's someone else that's being healed of a prostate problem. I'm pretty sure this is a man. But you've been back and forth, checked back and forth. You're checked quite a bit. I want to tell you that level is going to get normal. When you're checked again, that's going to be normal. Praise God, praise God. Now I'm hearing that from God, and God doesn't lie. That's Him right there. We receive it for you, brother. We do. We grab a hold of that. Let's just agree. Lord, let everybody agree. Lord, we agree with our brother. We agree for the power of God. We agree for the anointing. Lord, we thank you for touching him. We thank you for empowering him. We thank you for good news. There's going to be a good report, oh God. We give you glory. We give you praise, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, everything about God is good news. It's just He's just good news. You know why? Because it's finished. All that's left for us to do is enjoy. But we all have such a trouble with our identity. We're back to praying like a slave instead of a son. But God is so in charge. I keep hearing this morning about somebody who had a construction accident, and we're supposed to pray for you. I don't know what happened, but your body is still in trouble because of a construction accident. And that would fit my brother. Praise God. He's the reason I'm here. So, and if anything goes wrong, see him. All right. Okay. What part of your body got injured there? Your back. So why don't you stand up? This cord is, well, that's about all I can get out of this cord. But Lord, we do agree for Bruce. We agree that today this back is healed. And Lord, we all agree. We agree with what you're saying by the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, that this back takes on perfect health and perfect healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, what I see, Bruce, I see the wind is going to start blowing in your life. A lot of things are going to come together, especially the second half of this year. There's going to be a lot of catching up. God's going to redeem time that's been eaten away. The enemy, somebody has tried to devour your time. And there's going to be some divine hookups. You're going to enjoy companionship. You're going to enjoy relationships. God's going to help you get ahead financially. He's going to get you over the struggle. He's going to get you. I just see in bigger things and bigger transactions, things going on. It's going to be better than I hear what I hear him say. It's going to be better than you think. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So thank God. I love the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is so smart. He's so in to give us life. You know, isn't it funny about we think God is somehow pleased? How would you like it if one of your children is depressed? You think, I like that in a boy. I wish he'd be depressed more often. No, God doesn't want us. God gets no pleasure when we're discouraged, when we're defeated. He wants us to enjoy victory. I have come to give life and life to the full. Hallelujah. Where's Linda? Come up here, would you, Linda? I want to just pray for you if I could. You know, I just feel something so good about your future. And take your time. We got all day. But
I'm just kidding.
But I can't explain it. When you're up there singing, I can feel this virtue going out of me. And I feel the Holy Ghost is going to so grant you contentment. And He's going to so move every obstacle. And He's going to give you, what I keep hearing Him say, He's going to give you a clear view. He's going to give you a clear view. A clear view. And the Holy Spirit reminds me that He knows how to pack more into your life. He knows how to pack more in there than you could dream. And I see God doing some things that are going to be amazing, surprising, unusual, but wonderful for you. And Lord, we thank you. And I saw this the other night, but I see your life having such an impact. I see your life having such influence, such fruit. Your best years are getting ready to happen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here? It seems like you're married. You've been married right at 22 years. Does that fit anyone, any couple here? Seem like you've been married right at 22, right in there. Just raise your hand. 22 years. Sure seems like that's the case. If it's 21 and 3/4, still raise your hand, okay? How about anyone married, like, it seemed like 15 to 15 and a half, right in there. Does that fit anyone? That just kind of comes up in my spirit. 15, been married about 15 years, 15 and a half maybe. That. Don't be shy, because sometimes people come up afterwards and said, I just wanted to see how bad I could make you look. Don't want to miss that, okay? And that doesn't fit to anybody? That doesn't, because be bold. Be bold if it does. Okay. We won't worry about it. I'm not sure, but that's as clear as I'm hearing it. And usually those things are pretty accurate. But if I miss it, that's fine. I don't care. I got a way to get home. So I really feel this morning we need to pray. Let's do this. Let's pray for people who have high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, no, God will do it. God will do it. So if you have high blood pressure, if you struggle with that, just stand where you are. We'll just pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for healing high blood pressure. We thank you for the miraculous. We thank you for the miraculous manifestation, the miraculous manifestation of your power in every one of our brothers and sisters standing, oh God. We thank you for normal levels, normal levels, normal levels in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're going to be surprised, brother. And I believe every one of you standing, you're going to be surprised. God is just good. Now, let's just do this. If you have this acid reflex thing, if you have acid reflex, you know, that whole thing, why don't you just jump up if you deal with that acid reflex? And one thing I feel the Lord saying is you're not to eat anymore. Just kidding. This works. Believe me, it works. So if you see someone standing around, why don't you just go up over to them, just kind of put your hand on them. Lord, we agree. Just find somebody to put your hook on them there. Lord, we agree. We agree for the power of God to heal and to adjust and to make totally whole. Lord, for perfect health, normalcy in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, man. We got a couple minutes here. I just want to, who has a testimony of something that, I've heard a lot of testimonies about things that happened the other night, like different, you know, pains leaving or you grew a new arm or something like that. But who has a testimony of something God did? I just want to hear.
There was a thing about hips being healed, and one girl, I don't see her. She had a wonderful miracle in her. What? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. So, wow. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. So, how long ago was that at Carson? A couple of years ago. So you were saying every morning you have to get up and go through a rigmarole to get comfortable and... Wow. Now, you were in the same car. I hope John wasn't driving. He scares me sometimes, but praise God for that. Oh, that's wonderful. Is somebody else something like, because I heard some people had to leave and stuff, but I heard quite a few things about. To me, it's just God watches over the word. Yeah, you're healed. How are you sleeping?
Wonderfully.
Wonderfully. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How long has that been going on? So being a caregiver, you try it. You hurt your that area. And, wow. God is so amazing. Who has a... It seems like you're on this row that has trouble with your neck. Who is... Does it? One of you have trouble with your neck? Seems like you're on this row. But we'll pray for you. Does that give you a ton of trouble? Oh, could I get both of you to come up here? I want to just pray for... the reason I want you to come up, I've been feeling such compassion for you all morning. And every time I feel that, God's getting ready to do something new in your life. Fresh. Your name?
Debbie.
Debbie. Lord, we agree for Debbie that has this necking problem. And we thank you for just healing her so completely. Heal that neck, that there's no more stuff going on. And Lord, that everything's just getting in order perfectly. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Now, you know, the scripture says, you know, don't be weary in well-doing. And I also, where I've seen you, you've stood on the promises. Well, God's going to gratify you. Boy, am I getting a witness of the Spirit. You're getting ready to be gratified with some heart's desires and some real. I just see the Lord just pulling down, letting things drop from heaven where you're concerned. That'll be just for you, just like some miracles you need specifically. And there's been a weariness. But God is just giving you a divine exchange today. You're going to walk out of here with such strength, and your vision is going to grow. Your vision is going to grow. Your vision is going to grow. God's put a lot in you. And thank you, Jesus, for it. And, oh, man. Man, the anointing of God's on you. He is on you. Praise God. And your sister, what's your name?
Laura.
Laura. You know, I just feel so much about your life. There's been so many twists and turns. There really has. But there's something God's doing, and you're on time. You're not late. You're not early. You're on time. And God's going to fit you. Just like a key would fit in a door, God's going to fit you at the place He has for you. I see God like tying up loose ends. I see God doing things. It's just like He's taking care of business for you. It's like He's doing some things just for you. Taking care of business for you. I don't know why I want to say that. Just taking care of what concerns you. But your best season is now, says the Holy Ghost. Your best season is now. Praise God. Praise God. It is. And there's going to be such clarity, such amazing clarity, the way God's taken your life. You won't miss a thing. You will not. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to pray for Mike and his wife. If you guys come here a second. Well, I just feel... so much for you guys. And one thing I noticed, and the Bible says, if one member is honored, the rest of them say, it should have been me. Now, the rest of them rejoice, right? If one member suffers, the rest of them say, well, I'm glad it wasn't me. Now, the rest of them, what, suffer with it. So when somebody's being blessed by the Lord, don't get weird and don't act bored, because that's offensive to the Holy Ghost, to act bored. Another member of the body's being blessed, so you're bored. Give me a break. Give me a Pentecostal break. Give me a break of any kind. And I just see what I kept saying. That I see the Lord taking down a lot of walls, a lot of obstacles. But what I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, it's easier than you think. It's easier than you think, because God's going to do it. And your brain's not big enough to understand. Even though you do have a decent sized brain, it's not big enough to understand. But I feel the anointing, and God, I felt the Holy Spirit instruct me to pray with you, that the anointing is destroying yokes, and He's destroying fears, and the devil's a liar. And I want to just encourage you every day just to take authority, to take authority over every lie. Every lie. And just receive from God. God is not a hard taskmaster. The devil is. And God is going to lift the burden. He's going to take the hard way and make it easier. And you're going to know you guys are covered and you're wrapped in God's love. And Lord, we thank you for your strength on them. We thank you for your power flowing through. We thank you for your goodness, your goodness, your goodness, your goodness, your goodness. Now, Lord, just erase every distortion and just give them a fresh new perspective. And we know you're doing that. We know, God, your perspective from heaven is theirs in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Oh, man. Oh, man, oh, man. Hallelujah. My brother, the only one dressed up in here. Could you come here a second? Would you mind if I pray with you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this your wife? Come here too. If you, I would just early this morning. I was praying for you guys, and I could see you. I could see you like lifting weights, like just you know God. In other words, God's making you. He's just like adding strength, and you've had to exercise. You know, you know how we all do. I always say you can't get strong watching someone exercise. But I just feel, I just see this. It's so graphic today when I see this. But the Holy Spirit pouring in such strength. And I don't know what you've been through, but it's going to be, it's like the load is gone. And you're going to hit the mark God has for you. And I don't know what this pertains to, but it's like a trailer's been unhooked, like there's no more dead weight to carry. And you're going to taste the strength. And you're going to feel a better taste in your mouth. And the Holy Spirit, like a whirlwind, like a tornado, is going to be stirring in you. Stirring, 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 stirring. And there's going to be fresh expectation. Yes, there's going to be surprises. And God is going to bring fulfillment. There's something that's been so elusive, but God is going to bring such fulfillment in your lives that's been elusive for so long. So thank you, Lord. I can just see it. I can see it with my eyes closed, with my eyes open, but I see a burden gone. Just like a big old bunch of baggage gone. So praise God. It's your season of breakthrough. It is. Big time breakthrough. Praise God. God bless you both. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to just pray again for Glenn. He told me, God just gave me a special burden about his sleep. And I just, he told me this morning he almost couldn't wake up. I mean, that's so cool. Hallelujah. I'd love to just see him miss church one time, wouldn't you? Just miss the whole thing. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Stretch your cable toward him, would you? Lord, we agree. We agree that tonight is that the way he slept last night is just the beginning. Lord, we just thank you to just give him such quality sleep. Sleep deep and sleep into the night, oh God. And Lord, not fitful, not waking up, but just amazing sleep, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you to just give him such quality in every way. And Lord, that he'll just wax in your strength, oh God, that will just amaze him. And Lord, we thank you that there's people all over the world that love him, as not as much as you love him, but Lord, we thank you. Boy, I see God just keeping you so strong. I really do. I see him just keeping you in such good health. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, do I feel God just pouring into my brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we feel such a deep appreciation for him. We just appreciate him so much. In Jesus' name. There's a real anointing here to pray for people that can't sleep. If you can't sleep, not during my sermons, but if you can't sleep at night, would you stand if you can't sleep? If you have trouble sleeping, probably a lot of people do. There's a real miracle going to take place. Praise God. Dr. Noel, do you sleep? You sleep okay? You good? Good. Lord, we agree. We agree for that. Lord, we just lay hold. We lay hold of this promise today that sleep is going to be sweet and sleep is going to be satisfying. And sleep is going to be more than ample. That my brothers and sisters can wake up in the morning refreshed in Jesus' name. Refreshed with sleep, 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 sleep. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's someone else. You can be seated, but there's someone else. And you've been very, very, very depressed. And I feel like even this past couple of weeks, it's almost been, you feel like you're almost being strangled with depression. You just can't, you just feel like you're just dying under it. And the Holy Ghost doesn't lie, but I see Him. It's like there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that today this is beginning to turn, and God's going to give you joy. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I feel like if you could come up afterwards, just let me pray over you, because it's going to happen either way. But God is going to get you out of this. It's a spirit. It's a lie. And it's like it has snuck up on you somehow. And you haven't been able to shake it. But today is your day. So we praise God for that. I want to just pray real quickly. Are we okay for a couple minutes here? I appreciate the enthusiasm. But I feel like we could pray for the... it seemed like there's two or three people that have this ringing in your ears. Just like a lot of ringing, a lot of noise going on there. So why don't we just pray for you? If you're that way, why don't you stand? If you think, man, my ears ring all the time. If they from now on, if they ring, don't answer. Okay. man, that power of God is there. Hallelujah. Lord, we agree. We agree. Now this always works because God does it. Hallelujah. I just want to lay hands on that. Would you all mind, the rest of you, just coming up here and just let me just lay hands on you. Lord, we agree. We command that noise. We command that noise, that ringing, that buzzing to cease. We command peace and quiet in Jesus' name. Peace and quiet in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the peace of God. We thank you for the peace of God, that these ears don't ring anymore. They do not ring. They do not ring. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we command the power of God, the power of God, to put peace there, and that her Doris's ears are at peace. No more ringing, no more buzzing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. We praise you for the power of God. The power of God. And we just command the buzzing, ringing to stop. And we have to obey the Holy Ghost. It has to obey the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for how you've already healed her hip and everything. Now, Lord, just do greater things. Lord, heal her in these ears in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Terry. Thank you, Lord. We don't see why you like him, but Lord, we just bless him anyway. And Lord, we thank you for touching his ears totally. We command that ringing, that buzzing to cease totally, totally in Jesus' name. You know, I really feel there's such fresh direction on your life. God is the counselor. It's like I see him just like sitting by your bed, just like a counselor, just talking to you. You're going to hear him. It's like he's straightening out perspectives and things. Just you're going to see everything as God sees it and you know, he's going to show you priorities. That there's some things you won't have to waste your time with, even though they're good. That's he'll say, well, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to concentrate on this. I see him just putting such priorities out there that are so prominent, and everything else is just like fading. Praise God. But boy, is he going to counsel you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for healing our sister totally, completely. We thank you for that peace that passes understanding. And Lord, that you're going to have to give her something else to complain about, because this is taken care of. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We just thank you for peace. We thank you for peace. Peace, peace, peace. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That been going a long time, that noise? It's going to go. Thank you, sweet God. Lord, we thank you for the peace of God. The peace of God. We command that noise, that buzzing to cease in Jesus' name. Your first name? You guys, you know, he has the kind of personality. If the place was burning down, he'd wait. You and your wife are going to enjoy life more. I see you just, I don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to be more fun than it's ever been. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to have communion in a minute. I just want to wait on God here a second. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we appreciate you so much. Who seems like someone has that carpal tunnel thing on your, is that in your wrist or your arm there? Is that for you? And that fits my brother back here. Is that on both? Yeah, come up here a second if you would. And is there somebody here? Do you have that too? Let me just pray with you. Is there somebody here that you've been diagnosed with something terminal? Is there somebody here that is just like it's pretty severe? Does that fit anybody? I just kind of felt a little nudge there. We ought to pray. I hope it's not the case, but if it is, it's a good time. John, I was just hoping you wouldn't be up here. Carpal tunnel. Did you have surgery for that? Okay. Let's just agree. This still gives you trouble. So the surgeons didn't help. Yeah, they don't know it's a spirit. We rebuke that spirit. We rebuke the torture and torment of it in Jesus' name. We command, and Lord, the blood of Jesus, let the blood of Jesus take care of it. Thank you, Jesus, for that power flowing through it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's really not the prayer that does it. It's the fact that God is speaking. But we agree with the word of the Lord. We agree with the power of God. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that he'll not have to worry about this anymore. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is going to make you a mouthpiece. He's going to make you full of words. He's going to make you his motor mouth. And you're going to get more and more. And God's going to train you. You're going to feel him training you to trust the inner man, to trust his voice in your inner man. And it's going to get more and more real. And he's going to make you more sensitive to the flow of the Spirit. And God doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste time. He knows where you're at. He knows the way his hand's on you. And he's going to teach you. All your life, you're going to know. You're going to say, I know that the Holy Spirit's leading me. You're going to have that when you're an old man. You're going to say, I know the Holy Spirit leads me. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's true. That is true. Praise God. And we just agree. This in both hands. Lord, we agree. We agree for the power of God. We agree for the power of God. The power of God. We command this to go in Jesus' name. We thank you. There's going to be such a wonderful report. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's somebody that has like a bladder incontinence. It's like you have a leak. God is healing that. Healing the muscles in that area. Thank you, sweet God. We thank you, sweet God. Woo, do I feel the power of God? That fits you? Oh, my goodness. Do I feel the power of God? And Lord, we just thank you for touching our brother in every way. Oh, God. Let flow by your Spirit. Flow by your Holy Spirit. Flow by your Holy Spirit. Oh, God. I want to tell me your first name again.
Ryan.
One thing I see, I saw this earlier today, and I've seen it again as we pray, but the last few years it's gotten more discouraging. There's something there that it's like you feel like you're almost there, but it's just like there's a blockage. You can't quite get the breakthrough. But what I'm seeing, God is going to, it's just as simple as this. God's going to be talking to you, and he's going to be so specific that it's going to be amazing, showing you what to do. And a lot of times he'll hit you real early in the morning, just as you're kind of coming out of sleep. But you're going to hear from heaven. Now, I know that's so. But they're just like when he's healing that area, he's going to do some other things. You watch. They're coming down the pipe. I know they are. I know they are. Praise God. I trust the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Just give me one second here. This morning during the worship, I heard this about someone that you're sick to your stomach a lot. And I don't know what's causing it. I don't get anything about that. But God is just healing you. Whatever's wrong with your body where you're sick to your stomach a lot. And then there's another person that it seemed like you broke your neck, had a severe trauma to your neck at one point, and just severe trauma. And it's like it almost could have paralyzed you, but it didn't. But it's just like you still have so much trouble with that fracture there. A lot of pain, a lot of thing. Does that fit someone? But about the trauma. Good. Well, what did we pray for? We prayed for you about something. Okay. And oh yeah, yeah. And I know God's taking care of you. It seems like there's someone else as well as you that I'm supposed to pray for. But just like they were supposed to be here. Okay.
Carmen.
Okay, well, she's supposed to be here. Okay.
I don't
Yeah, I know she heard it.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we agree with Holy Ghost, and we agree that Carmen will just receive. Will receive. Will receive. The power of God go to her anyway, in Jesus' name. Thank God. Thank God. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our brother and sister. They're such a powerful blessing. These two are, they're God's encouragers. They are God's encouragers. We thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the love that flows through them. Thank you for the power that flows through them. Hallelujah. Lord, they encourage, they encourage, they encourage. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Lord, anything either my brother and sister need today physically, we just ask you to touch them. We ask you to be amazing, mind-boggling, as you touch them in their physical body, in their health, in any way. And we thank you for how they're such a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Mike, if I could just, I'll let us go after Mike and Carla. I just want to pray over them. I didn't say I liked them. I just said I wanted to pray over them. I just enjoyed a little dab of fellowship we had together. But I just feel like I'm just praying, Lord. I just pray for impartation on Mike and Carla. And I just thank you for the life that flows through them, that they're life givers. Oh, God. And I can see you. You're going to be used more and more in pushing people into the river of God. And God is like a magnet, but He's gathering people to you. Everywhere you go, even if you're very local, you will hear results. You will hear more results of things God is doing. And I see God turning up the volume, and I feel like the sound that's in you, the message that's in you, is going to hit more ears. I just see that going on. God is just going to, He's just going to increase the sphere. He's going to increase that sphere of influence. He's going to increase that sphere. He's enlarging that sphere of influence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You too have the Lord uses you to kind of, to meet people where they are. And He'll give you the exact thing they need. In this next decade, it's going to be hard to keep up. Because the Lord's going to move, and He has an agenda. And you're going to find yourself so many times just saying, God, can't we take a day off here somewhere? But I just see God just maneuvering you and putting you in the right places, strategic times, unusual situations, unusual but yet divine appointments, encounters. And all that He's invested in you, He's going to give you the best bang for your buck. He's going to use what He's invested in you, poured in you, that you will hit the mark. You'll not only hit the mark, it'll be more than the mark of what He has. We hear the words, full potential, rich fulfillment. But He's going to use you to full potential. If you've had leisure time in the past, I hope you enjoyed it. Because because there's going to be more activity. And that doesn't mean you don't draw off to the side. But I just see God just opening so much for you. So praise God. God bless you both. Hallelujah.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.